In the corner, Marchessault up to the slot. Miller shooting. Knocked down and trickles into the goal. To rush up the left side. Nosek is in. He shoots and scores. Tomáš Nosek. On the right side wall, tipped out. Here's Carlson. He's got an unabetted pass. Left circle. Carlson alone. He scores! All through his legs! Carlson! Shorthanded! 3-2 Knights! Oh, can you believe it? Faceoff won by Belmar. Puck to the corner. Cleared out of the zone. And that's it! The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
And welcome in and good Monday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas. The full crew in the studio today. Frank Harnish here talking with you along with my friends, Mr. Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, and Chris Chapman running the board.
I'm the best, whether you like it or not.
Making everything sound good. And guys, you know, nothing says NHL hockey like 90 degree temperatures. It's heating up here in Las Vegas and other places still digging out of the snow, but we are getting ready for the playoffs here in Sin City.
Yeah, we made it through 82 games, ready to start the second season. A couple of bumps and bruises along the way, but I'm ready for some playoff hockey.
Who doesn't love this time of year? And like, who doesn't love playoff hockey when you said the weather is nice outside, it's nice and, you know, toasty, and it's not Calgary, you know what I mean? Like, it's not 13 degrees and wind chill and all that stuff. So, and also Vegas isn't in the playoffs and Calgary isn't. So there's that. But again, I can't complain. I'm getting ready for it. I'm excited. I can't wait. T-Mobile is going to be electric on Wednesday.
Now, is that a shot at Calgary or just at Canada in general? Because three California teams are in the playoffs, and I believe only two Canadian ones are.
No, no. Yeah. What it is salt. I'm salty about the 7-1 loss. I'm salty.
Well, that's how you melt the snow, so you do that on the roads up there.
I cared so much about game number 82 when the Pacific Division was already clinched, and I'm just so angry. I'm so angry that they didn't get that win in Calgary. I'm really upset.
You know, it's funny that Ryan should say that, Clayton, because we were talking about it in the post-game shows after the last two games and saying this is the first time all season long that Vegas has lost a couple hockey games that people aren't completely freaking out on them.
Yeah, I think as the goal was met and they came out of it without any injuries. What an evolution of the fan base from game one to game 82. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. The fan base, the team, everything. It's just been it's been great so far. But you know what? Now it really starts. Now we see what happens in the playoffs. The season's been great. The regular season, absolutely magical, storybook, whatever cliche or however you want to describe it. But now the playoffs are coming up. But that being said, we do have tour sponsors to talk about Calgary. So let's, I don't want to say get it out of the way, but let's get it out of the way.
Let's get it out of the way. Well, 7-1 was your final game number 82, and it was all things Calgary, but there was a bit of bright moment for the Golden Knights, a beauty of a goal on the breakaway by Cody Eakin. He has earned himself a play of the game honors. Play of the game is brought to you by Best Mattress. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. Cody Eakin.
Now here's a giveaway by Goudreau. Eakin speeds down the middle. He shoots. He scores! Cody Eakin on a breakaway for the Knights. Scores his 11th of the year. And Vegas strikes in the first minute of the second period and now trails 3-1.
That was Cody Eakin drawing the Knights back into the game. And what I liked about this goal, Frank, we talked about it a lot during the post game, was that he knew that the defense was back-checking. They were bearing down of him. His best shot at getting a good, clean shot was where he took it from the dots. He went ahead, made the shot from there, and cashed it in.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen that a lot when some of the Vegas Golden Knights get opportunities like that. You don't always have to go in for the layup or try to make it as close or whatever. When you have the opening shoot, we saw Brandon Peary do that on a couple of his goals. He's got that spot he likes. And, of course, the one that clinched the Pacific Division title, when William Karlsson came down, the move he made, some of the people initially said, and I know Ryan, we talked about it, that it was a hot dog move, but the way that Martin Jones came out and went to poke check that puck, if he didn't do that, he wouldn't have scored. So sometimes the best shot is the one that's available when you see the opening fired away, and as long as it goes between the pipes, it's good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the play by Eakin. I like just the simplicity of it. You know, you skate down, you don't really have much going on in the game. Nothing's really going your way. But then again, it's game 82. No one really cares about it. I like the idea of just throwing it on the net, seeing what happens. and it worked, and you kind of got the sense that maybe something was going to happen from there, maybe something was going to snowball for the Golden Knights, and then Calgary said no, it will not.
Yeah, and if you didn't see the game, it was kind of a nightmarish first period. Not right. A ton of shots on goals, but three goals for the Calgary Flames. Then Eakin scores with 51 seconds into the second period, and you're thinking, okay, well, now they're right back into it. They're two goals down. Some people will tell you that's the most dangerous lead in hockey. I've never understood that philosophy, but whatever. People have their different opinions about stuff. But then that was kind of it, and we can make arguments and try to find a player of the game from the Vegas Golden Knights, and I think Ryan wants to chip one in here, but I think we did the right thing with the player of the game.
Yeah, it's a little tough to go against a guy that has not just the hat trick, the golden sombrero. He had four goals on the game, and that was Mark Jankowski, easily the Mark Jankowski show when it came to Calgary's effort on the ice. He has earned player of the game honors. Player of the game is brought to you by Brinkus Team Realty, your home sold, guaranteed. Mark Jankowski.
Kept in the zone by Jankowski. To the point for Anderson. Cross to the right wing side. Brower to the slot. A one-time shot save. Rebound score! It's Jankowski. His fourth of the night. And Calgary leads 7-1. 90 seconds into the third period.
Mark Jankowski, four goals. A number of hat tricks to close out the season around the NHL, but he's the only one to get four.
Yeah, he had the four goals that night, and he was trying to become the first player this year with five goals in a game for the rookie. Only had 13 goals coming into it, so he certainly capped it off in a nice way, and Calgary does have some good young players. Now they can think about it in the offseason and see exactly what they're going to do or what they want to do. Johnny Gaudreau and Jankowski had himself a career night that night, and I know some of the fans actually stuck around there because not only did they want to see if there was five goals available, but I know Gary Lawless was talking about it during the radio cast with Dan Duva when they were doing the play-by-play in the third period. They have one of those contests up there, too, where somebody could have potentially had a shot at $1 million if somebody scores five goals in a game. So I'm sure they wanted to see that. But Malcolm Subban said, you might get your fourth, but not your fifth.
Yeah, not your fifth. But great effort by Jankowski, scoring all different ways. We saw the bank shot off of Colin Miller. We saw the pretty goal. We saw the ugly goal. And I guess it takes all kinds when you get four.
Yeah, we also saw the goal where Marc-Andre Fleury said, here, take this, youngster, and see what you think about it. But Ryan, I know you have a different thought about this. And it's funny because we talked about this gentleman in the post game as well. But I don't know that you can give him player of the game just because...
Okay,
he had a zero plus minus.
Well, thanks for giving it away, Frank. Jeez.
And there was like four or five guys with a zero plus minus. They don't know who I'm talking about.
Only one matters. Only one matters. Listen, here's the deal. Anyone can score four goals in a 7-1 blowout, but how many guys can leave that game on the losing team with a zero, with an even plus minus? William Karlsson. That's my guy. That's my guy. But Dustin Brown had four goals in a game, not the other night against Minnesota, but his fourth goal of the game was the game winner in overtime. So that one's better.
Well, it might be better, but he wasn't in that game, so he can't be player of this game.
No, William Karlsson.
It surely doesn't count against everyone else on Saturday in game number 82.
And hopefully that will be the last time we'll see Dustin Brown getting four goals in a game, at least the rest of this year.
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, let's hope for
didn't
that.
Didn't Kopitar just have a four-goal game recently,
Kopitar had a four-goal game. Dustin Brown had a four-goal game. Kings are coming in pretty hot.
All right, so let's jump right into that. The LA Kings, that is the first-round matchup. I know we were on the show here, and everybody around town, the one team they didn't want was the Kings, and we talked about it in here, and Ed Graney and Clay Baker have talked about it in the press box, and everybody I meet in the street. And I said all along, you know what? You have to beat the best. You want LA to be the rivalry. Rivalries are made in the playoffs. I say bring the Kings on, and if they win, you tip your hat to them. But we do have the LA Kings in the first round. Drew Doughty said he guaranteed they'd be better. We're about to find that out. Ryan Reeves said, I want to play LA every game. Well, guess what? One of these guys is going to be on the bad side of that. Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it.
And the one thing we know about the Knights is that they thrive in the chip-on-the-shoulder underdog position. And for a large portion of the second half of the season, they had sort of lost that underdog feel to them. People expected them to win. They started becoming a minus on the betting sheet instead of a plus for just about every game. And now they're coming into it where the whole world's kind of looking at them and saying, eh. I don't think you're going to get by LA, and that's something that you've seen these guys feed on.
Yeah, I look at this as it could go either way. I think that Vegas can try to change their style to match the heaviness, to match the playoffness of the LA Kings and what the Kings are going to try to do, which is get the puck down low, cycle the puck, really try to wear out and spread thin the Vegas defense. Hope that they can lose some coverage, slip some coverage in the defense, in the offensive zone, and leave themselves crashing the net, getting ugly goals, deflection goals, tip goals, stuff like that. A lot of garbage stuff around the net. But what I do think Vegas is going to try to do is play their style of game from the first two-thirds games that they played LA, which was push the pace, roll four lines, really skate and try to wear down and make LA make mistakes. Drew Doughty looked very human in the first two games that Vegas played against the Kings. Andre Kopitar looked very human in the first two games that they played against the LA Kings. And the trend that we noticed in those games, Vegas had their forecheck going very well. They were rolling four lines. Gallant wasn't worried about matchups. He knew that he could get McNabb and Schmidt out against Andre Kopitar, and that worked. I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see four lines. I really don't expect to see a whole lot of Ryan Reeves, if I'm being honest.
And, you know, that's interesting, too, because I've heard other shows talk about that, and I don't know what we see of Ryan Reeves either. We saw him today in a green jersey, which basically would be the line that won't be slipping in there, but we also saw a couple other guys that some people think are going to be in the lineup. And that's the one thing that Gerard Gallant hasn't really told the media, and he said today that he doesn't 100% know, but he's working on it right now. Who does get into the lineup? Who sneaks into the lineup? And is the rivalry with L.A., is that the Vegas Golden Knights rival? Drew Doughty said before the season started, basically, I'm sure once the Vegas team is settled in here, they're going to have to find some rival. It'll be interesting to see who they get. I think you've got to go through some playoff battles with the team to build that up. Now, remember, the LA Kings, not only the closeness and proximity in Los Angeles there, the Kings played a preseason game outdoors against the New York Rangers at Caesars Palace in 91. They played preseason games indoors at the MGM Grand Garden Arena almost every year from 97 to 2015 in the Frozen Fury series that they had. So the Kings were kind of making L.A. like their home away from home. Now there's a team here. Is that the rival, or can it not be the rival to the playoffs? Say it is.
I think we'll wait a couple of weeks to make that determination. Again, I think this is a really interesting matchup, mainly because L.A. is the big brother, and Vegas is the little brother. They're the new kids on the block, really. And with Vegas, their success has been such a great story. But I think if you go into that locker room and you ask these guys, are you content with what you've done, given the fact of no one thought you'd be here? I think every single one of them answers no. Because this is a fantastic opportunity to just add to the story, to continue to do something that's unprecedented. And I think that they're going to look back at this. I know they know they're a good team. I don't know if they believe they're underdogs, but I know they're a good team. And I think it'll sting a little bit if they do lose to Los Angeles because of all the things that Drew Doughty has said in the press, because of all the things that LA has kind of said about Vegas up to this point, because of how the last two games against LA went in the regular season, where LA kind of pushed them around and played their game and Vegas looked lost. I think Vegas really wants this series against LA, and I think they want to win it badly.
I do, too. But one thing we know, though, about athletes is that a lot of times, though, rivalries and things like that are really for us and for the fan base a little bit more than the players that are involved in it. And we do see some exceptions, Yankees, Red Sox, Ohio State, Michigan, where it becomes about that long-standing rivalry. LA, I think, will be the rival for Vegas simply because it's LA. But I know a lot of folks in L.A. and old King fans wanted Vegas because they feel like that is a express pass to round number two. And I think if losing to Vegas really creates that sort of rivalry on the L.A. side that may not exist as strongly on the Vegas side in terms of the fan base.
And I think that's a really good point, because if you look at the comments made by L.A. after the second loss to Vegas this year, it was anger. It was frustration. It was just plain, we don't like this team. We don't like losing to this team. Drew Doughty had broken two sticks in two games because he was angry about losing to this team. And then LA comes in, they get a couple of wins against Vegas, and now all of a sudden the pressure's off and they're feeling good. I think you're right. If LA loses to Vegas, in spite of the fact that LA is a 4 seed and Vegas is a 1 seed, I think LA is going to look at it like, man, we let that get away, in spite of the fact that they are not the favorites.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman here. Hey, if you want to chime in and say what you think about how this season's gone, about the matchup with the LA Kings, you can give us a call, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Give us a call, let us know what you think, if you would like to join us here on the show today. All right, so the matchup with LA. I hear everybody saying Vegas is the underdog here. Are they the underdog? On NHL.com, with the so-called experts, one of the sites that you can find your expert hockey analysis, 8 of the 14 people do pick the Vegas Golden Knights to advance past the Kings to the second round of the playoffs. If 8 of 14 pick you to advance in the playoffs, are you an underdog? I believe that's more than 50%.
I mean, it's really hard to be an underdog as a 1 seed. Their record isn't a fluke. They are who they are. They're a 51-win team in the NHL. They're a 109-point club. And if LA was better over the 82-game span, then LA's the better team. They're the favorite. But they're not. They weren't. LA was wildly inconsistent. And while Vegas did trail off after December, while they were more of a 500 hockey club than anything else, it doesn't change the fact that Vegas still went through the same 82-game season the LA Kings did. They played the same competition the LA Kings did, and they have a better record than the LA Kings did. That would indicate to me that they are indeed a better team, unless I don't understand math.
Well, there is math, but there's also the way that teams are playing right now. And Clayton, I know we've talked about this a little bit. We all have a little bit. Some people believe that the teams that are the hottest and that playing the best hockey at the end of the season are the favorites going into the playoffs. I know last year when I looked at Chicago and Nashville in the first round, the standings told me and the math told me the Blackhawks were the number 1 seed and the Nashville Predators were the 8 seed. But I told everybody I thought Nashville was going to win that series. I didn't call a sweep. I didn't see that happening. I didn't know Chicago's offense was going to completely disappear. But just because you've had the better regular season doesn't make you the favorite or the better team.
When I look at trying to figure out who a better team is, I try to look at the different ways that you can win a game. Can you win the 1-0 tight defensive struggle? Can you win the game if it becomes a physical battle? Can you win the game if it becomes about passing and elite scoring? And what are the different ways that you feel that you can win that particular type of game? And when it comes to Los Angeles, I feel like they are the one team out of the bunch that is just as comfortable in a 2-1 defensive slugfest as they are in a 6-5 offensive showcase. And that's what really draws these two teams to the center, closer maybe than any other matchup.
I tend to agree with that a little bit. When I go back and I think about LA, though, if it's a 6-5 game or a 5-4 game, then LA is doing everything in their power to try to play the opposition's game, because that's not what they're known for. It's not what they want to be doing. They can only rely on that so much. And if they're even going to have a chance at winning a game like that, it's going to have to be on the back of Anze Kopitar and Jeff Carter. That being said, I think that they're one of those teams that can win in a number of different ways. But Vegas, to their credit, can win in a number of different ways. We've seen them win games without David Perron in the lineup. We've seen them win games without Marc-Andre Fleury in the lineup. We've seen them win games without Riley Smith in the lineup. And those guys coming back and the confidence that's been garnered by Alex Tuch and by some of those guys that are playing higher in the lineup because of it, it's only going to make Vegas stronger in the third line and in the fourth line. And we talked about at the beginning of the year when they were winning all these games and no one could understand why they were winning all of these games. We said it comes down to their third and fourth line. Top line maybe isn't the best line on the ice all the time. Now I disagree because I think their top line's fantastic. Second line, probably not the best second line in the league, a very good second line. Third and fourth line, best lines, best third and fourth line in the league. It's going to come down to depth scoring. I truly believe that in this series against LA.
All right, and that's just my point in that you certainly don't want to play out of your comfort zone, but that's what both of these teams can do, and they can play out of their comfort zone. And if you have to play 6-5 games, that's certainly something that doesn't withstand 82 games, but it's something that you can steal one game in a 7-game series playing out of your comfort zone, and that might be all you need.
Yeah, and you know, if you steal 7 games in a series, then that could be the series. Mm-hmm. Because if the two teams are really even and 7 games is the decider, then, well, we'll see what happens. Let's go to the phones right now. Russell's giving us a call here, 702-876-1340. Russell, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
How you guys doing?
Doing good. So what do you think about the Golden Knights this year, and what do you think about the playoff matchup with the Kings?
I think it's great. I think it's awesome. I think it's great that hockey's continued out here in Las Vegas. I played a small little minute part in that. Talking about the playoffs, it comes down to three things. One, goaltending. Two, defense. You have to know when to hit the people and how to hit the people. And discipline. Can't take stupid penalties. You can't put L.A. on the power play. You just can't do it. So I'm hoping those guys can get this thing wrapped up. And I see us winning the first two games. Maybe the next two games after that as well.
So you think they could possibly sweep them?
Say again?
I said, so you think they could possibly sweep them?
Yeah. If they play disciplined hockey, they play defense in front of the net. I myself as a former professional goaltender, I need my defense.
All right,
big time. So I think that we have a great chance. And you know, injuries, that's another factor. Hopefully no one gets hurt in the first round, but the playoffs are different. The season, yes, it's a long season for every team, but when you get to the playoffs, now it's on. It's different. It's mano a mano. It's a John Wayne situation. It's mano a mano. So let's see what we got, what our boys have.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Russell. And, yeah, I mean, there were some good points there, and obviously defense is going to be crucial in here. It always is. The hitting we know is going to be ramped up. We've talked about it. We've all watched hockey our entire lives. The one thing that he did bring up that I thought was a little bit interesting, and I did want to get your guys' thoughts on it, because I don't know, is it an even thing or is it not? Marc-Andre Fleury has 3 Stanley Cups. He's one of the greatest goalies ever. Jonathan Quick, when he's the best Jonathan Quick, which we've seen recently, he's got 2 Stanley Cups of his own. And, you know, it's funny because I heard some people saying the other day, it's like, well, you know, boy, that last game against Calgary, 7-1. I mean, I know people are saying it doesn't matter, but you don't want to go into the playoffs like that. Well, if I remember right, that last day of the season, the LA Kings kind of got their butt kicked in the first period by the Dallas Stars. So neither one of them are coming in on their best performance at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think the playoffs, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be ready. He's been through this so often. Jonathan Quick's going to be ready. He's been through this so often.
Does one have an edge over the other?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm. I really don't. I think the biggest thing for Vegas is going to be preventing Los Angeles from getting to the front of the net and making things very difficult for Marc-Andre Fleury. I even asked him about it today. I said, what do you need from your defense? He's like, I just need to be able to see the shots. And LA's game plan is go to the front of the net, make it really difficult on Marc-Andre Fleury. Vegas, win in transition and get Jonathan Quick moving laterally. I mean, they're two completely different set of scenarios that those two guys are going to have to play through.
Though Vegas does want to get in front of the net and make it difficult for Quick to get. When they're playing their best and they're winning hockey games, if they're not in front and they make it easy on a goalie, Jonathan Quick is going to stop the shots.
Well, right. I mean, when they have offensive zone time and pressure and they're cycling the puck, obviously the goal is to get to the front of the net, but really what Vegas wants to do is they want to beat LA in transition. They want to force turnovers. They want 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, 1-on-0s. That's how they win this series. They've got to win the transition game. They have to be flying through the neutral zone. They have to force Doughty into turnovers. They have to do that.
I just like that he calls it a John Wayne scenario. I think that sounds like a great rap song.
You know, Orange County Airport used to be at the John Wayne Airport or vice versa, mm-hmm. or something like that. So, but yeah, well, I'm just showing my age here a little bit too. But okay. Hey, when we come back, we're gonna get an interview that Chris Chapman did with Pierre-Edouard Bellemare. We'll have interviews throughout the next couple of days leading up to the game Wednesday night. Wednesday, we're also going to do a special pregame before the pregame, along with our show down from T-Mobile Arena. And if you want to check out some of the stuff that Ryan was talking about there, the interview with Marc-Andre Fleury. Braden McNabb also, and Helen Yee is doing a really, what sounds like a very cool piece with Alex Tuck and his father and some of the stories about Alex growing up and things like that. Go to lvsportsnetwork.com. Some very, very cool stuff up there as well. And you get to see the videos as well of instead of just listening to us talk, hear the players right out of their mouth. When we come back, we'll play that interview. Also look at some of the other playoff matchups. Lots to get to here. It's playoff time here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Leighton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman getting ready for the playoffs. Wednesday, it all starts at T-Mobile Arena. And guys, I know we've all seen the ice. How awesome does that look, looking down on the ice there and seeing the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Stanley Cup right there in the ice? We just had a chance to see the Stanley Cup, and we'll be playing an interview that we do with Mike Bold here within the next day or two. But very cool seeing the Cup, but I've seen it before, and as much as I love that, I think seeing it on the ice at T-Mobile actually sent, maybe it was because a little bit colder in there with the ice down, but I think I actually got goosebumps a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see Stanley Cup playoffs written right above the blue line, and hanging out with you guys, getting to see the Cup up close and personal was a pretty cool experience, and we're going to have that interview with Mike Bolt later in the week. Fun stuff.
The Stanley Cup makes me emotional.
You still don't touch it though, right?
I don't know. I might have gone to see it the next day with my family.
So you touched it?
I did.
You broke your own?
I did.
Oh.
My family was there. It meant something.
You didn't break it the day that we all went over there at the interviews, and then you went back and touched it?
He had a really good explanation as to why. I saw it on Instagram, the explanation. So it's legit.
Well, share. I mean, you can't tell the listeners you had a good explanation and then not share it. What's the explanation?
Well, here's the thing. I grew up playing hockey. I've been playing hockey since I was 5 years old. I learned how to skate better than I could walk, and I wanted to play for that trophy. So I come from that lineup where I dreamed about it ever since I was 5 years old. And well, this year's been, obviously, as you know, kind of an up and down year for me. It's been wild. It's been crazy. There's been loss. There's been a lot of personal growth. And this has been one of the most rewarding careers of my life professionally, or years of my life professionally. And so I wanted to share it with somebody, with people that have helped me get to this point, that have helped me get through some of the dark times, and just get to a point where I loved hockey again, and two, where I would feel like I'm not shortchanging anybody else in my life. And that was with my family and getting to see my son touch the cup, getting to see my daughter touch the cup, and sharing that with my wife. It was awesome.
So when we started all this out way back when on the Rink Rats,
mm-hmm. yep.
and I told you that I took a picture with the cup,
yeah.
and as a Blackhawk
yep.
fan that I was right there, and you were like, you don't even have the right to take a picture with the cup.
I never said but, picture.
Yeah, you said you're not part of the team, you yeah. can't be anywhere, you don't deserve it, mm-hmm. and now you went out and touched it.
I did. And I was totally wrong. It was awesome.
Yeah,
do you remember touching it for the first time?
Yeah, I do. It was awesome.
Did your hand like feel? Do you feel the electricity from that trophy?
Oh, yeah, I mean, and then of course you look for the names that you're looking for and stuff like that. And yeah. by the way, you want to see it this year if you want to see some of those names: Gordie Howe, Rocket Richard. Mm-hmm. I obviously wanted to see Bobby Hall, so you know some of those names. I mean, Chris Chapman was slobbering all over it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I kissed it.
I draw the line at touching it now. Like I'm okay to touch it. Chapman, you have a relationship with the Stanley Cup.
I do.
And I don't know that it's like, I don't think it's a good thing.
No, it's cool, you know. I mean, the thing is, the team that I grew up rooting for, they've won it three times, so I'm not jinxing anybody by touching it. And, you know, when I think of all the great players that kissed the cup, I'm very proud to say that my lips have also touched a Stanley Cup. You know, I think it's legit.
All I know is that you made out with the cup,
yes.
and Jesse Granger made out with the cup. So now you've made out with everyone that Jesse Granger's made out with. That's all I'm saying.
I'm guessing Jesse Granger probably made out with some really attractive women in his time.
Okay, well,
that
this
bearded mustache.
This is going completely off the rails here. So let's get it back on. Let's hear from somebody who will be playing for the Stanley Cup. That Chris Chapman, who did not kiss this gentleman during the interview, but Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, one of our favorite guys on the team, one of the toughest guys on the team. I honestly still think that the reason he didn't play in the Calgary game was because he was the one guy that would still try to block shots and everything out there, and you can't get anybody hurt before that game because you had to get ready for the playoffs. But Chris caught up with him a little bit earlier, and here's that interview.
It's fun. I mean, Will and I have always had this. You know, we both talk French, so we have an extra chemistry. And then we like to play with Nosey through the whole year. We kind of grew up playing together, kind of. Like, we grew up better and better, kind of, through the whole we grow through the whole season. And now have him, both of them back, it's fun. It's like kind of like, all right, let's go now.
Everyone says the intensity picks up in the playoffs, but how is that just a cliche, or how much does it really pick up?
I mean, for me, it has always been like, you know, you go on the ice, and then when you come back on the bench, that's what I tell my family. It was always like, all right, I can't play hockey anymore. I have nothing left. Like, I'm dead. And then 45 seconds later, you hear your name, or a minute later, you hear your name, and you're like, all right, let's go. And you do the same thing again, and you come on the bench, and you're, like, dead tired. And this is what I think playoff is like, during the season, like, without wanting it, sometimes you take a shift where you're maybe not, like, 100%. In playoff, every shift matter. Like, a shift can make you be successful or can kill you. So you take every moment on the ice to be as hard as you can. And that's the way I see it. So that's why it's so intense.
How special is this for you? I mean, it's obviously been a special 2018 for you, birth of your child, but now you get to open the playoffs for a franchise in their inaugural season at home. Just this entire year, how special has it been for you?
It has been a fairy tale for the entire Las Vegas, everybody. It's been fun. Now we come to the best part of the year, and it's an honor to be able to be part of a playoff team. It's 82 games, 31 team. I mean, to be able to achieve playoff hockey, it's tough, and it's not everybody can do it. So, you know, have a chance of, like, rising the Lord Stanley, it's good for the whole town.
Now, you've already got the beard going. So who do you think is going to be able to grow the best beard, and who do you think is not going to be able to grow the beard?
I would say Derek probably will have. He also has a start, but, like, we're guys that have beards all year long, so we're not going to start shaving now. But I think he probably, Derek, is going to have the nicest one, I think. The worst one, I mean, it's a big battle. We have a few guys, to be honest. But I think my Liney, I don't know how much facial hair he's going to grow, Nosey.
It doesn't even look like he shaves.
Exactly. I don't know. But, I mean, Carly, I don't know how much Carlson get or Riley Smith. Like, you know, those guys, I don't really know. Eric Halla, I don't know if they grow that much. But if they would, if we would have to go on somebody, I think Malini is knows, like, I don't think he's going to have so much.
All right. So there you have it. And the playoff beard, if you are new to hockey, basically nobody shaves during the playoffs. I would think that the best playoff beard in here might be Ryan's.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been debating. I really have about going completely clean shaven and just see where it goes from there. But I don't look good with no facial hair. I've got to hide some of this face.
I have trouble with the full beard. It's that little patchy in certain spots. And it drives me crazy if I can't shave my neck.
So are you going to shave during the playoffs?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So absolutely. You will be shaving. Chris, I know, because we all have facial hair in here. Mine's a little grayer than the rest of you guys, but Chris?
Well, I've got the Fu Manchu going, and Brad Hunt has told me that I cannot shave it anymore. I have to keep growing it. You know, me and Ryan both asked him, and, you know, he said, yeah, it's acceptable for guys in the media to grow playoff facial hair, so I'm going to keep growing the mustache as long as they keep playing.
All right, so we're all going to grow it to a certain extent. Clayton will be shaving, but we're all keeping the facial hair we have.
The goatee and the mustache.
Are you at least going to grow the goatee longer during the playoffs?
No, I will not.
Right, so you're just going to stay completely
everything
trim,
will
like,
remain the same.
Regular season, playoff,
regular
same
season,
thing.
Playoff, same.
Now you should go with the Jim the Anvil Neidhart look.
The little point?
Yes,
little,
yeah.
Nope.
All right, well, I don't plan on shaving. Maybe trim it up a little bit where so it doesn't get too scruffy, but I'm not going to shave. Ryan, are you going to be full on?
God, there's no way I'm shaving. Come on. I don't shave in general anyway. I'm not shaving now. Like, I'm not starting to shave in the playoffs. Like, that would be the equivalent of me doing something different for the playoffs. Like, shaving would be different for me. But no, I'm not doing it. I'm going all in.
All right. Yeah. So
Ryan and I staying exactly the same.
All right. Now, there's also a little beard-a-thon thing that they're doing with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, and it's cool. I did sign up for it. Obviously, the proceeds, whatever people pledge to you, it's going to go to the Golden Knights Foundation. It's a great organization, great charity to donate to. And really, it's just I'm going to have the best beard. So come take a look at me. Vote my beard. Make it as good as it possibly can be.
Will you start on your Twitter handle or something, start throwing out pictures of what the beard looks like today as opposed to what it looks like on the last day of the playoffs?
Yeah, probably. I'll probably do a daily beard update if that's something that people are into.
Well, I think you need to. And yeah, I think this sure. should all be still be on yep. LVSportsNetwork.com along yep. with the videos and everything.
Yep, that's definitely something I can do. And we don't have to get Chris's mustache into this. We can just keep it at my beard.
Oh, come on. The mustache is cool, though.
Let's not do that.
You know, the one thing, though, I want to ask Alex Tuck, because if you remember, he grew a mustache for Thanksgiving, for
yes.
Movember.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to shave it right away because his mom was going to not like the facial hair for Christmas pictures. So I want to ask him if what his mom thinks of the playoff beard.
I think she's going to love it because it's the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah, probably right. Yeah.
Well, mom knows hockey.
And it will be over by Christmas. The playoffs.
We hope so. We hope so.
Well, it definitely will be over by Christmas. But, yeah, you know, it is kind of funny, too, because you wonder now the guys that aren't necessarily going to get in the game, do they still grow the playoff beard?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And can Zach Whitecloud grow a playoff beard?
No.
Because there was talk that he could not do that.
No, but I don't think. Did you guys remember Sidney Crosby's first playoff beard? It was awful. It was just a bunch of scragglies. It was not good. Jonathan Taves can grow playoff mutton chops, but that's about it. He has no beard. You don't do it because you look cool. You do it because it's the team. It's camaraderie. It's what you guys decide to do. It's tradition. It is what it is. Have some fun with it. You're growing it, right, Frank?
Yes, I'll grow mine out. But when it comes to really bad ones like that, then was Crosby's as bad as Austin Matthews is now? Because Clayton hates Austin Matthews' beard.
No, I hate Patrick Laine's
beard. Oh, Patrick Laine. I'm sorry.
Patrick Laine.
Patrick yes. Laine actually has a beard. Yes. Sidney Crosby just has this weird chin strap thing. It's like it's like he's always got his chin strap on his helmet. Like mm-hmm. like he does post-game interviews, and it looks like he's wearing his helmet until you realize he isn't. Like, that's the problem with Sidney Crosby's beard. And ironically enough, it's like the most interesting thing about him.
What's kind of funny to me, though, or a little bit interesting, but yeah, definitely, I mean, that's the most interesting thing about Sidney Crosby
yes.
is the beard that he can't grow.
Pretty much. Have you interviewed the guy?
I saw him race Zambonis with Yevgeny Malkin. Just.
I think Sidney Crosby is probably really fun as long as you plan out the fun.
No, you know, it's funny because being around Crosby and interviewing him and seeing what he's like when the recorders are turned off and the cameras are turned off, he actually seems like he's got a fun and interesting personality. But he doesn't show the world that at all, which is a shame because if he did, maybe hockey would be more well-received in the States.
Do you think that's part of the Pittsburgh locker room? Marc-Andre Fleury is a prankster in really good nature, but he wasn't vocal in the media. Yevgeny Malkin actually seems like he likes to talk a little bit, too. Like I say, Crosby and him did the Zamboni thing. Maybe it's just a thing that in Pittsburgh, if you're on this team, all the hijinks stay in the locker room.
Maybe, but Fleury likes to make jokes and stuff.
Here would be the great question, then. So if you had to go out for the night and hang out, would you rather hang out with Sidney Crosby or Alexander Radulov?
Ooh, that's tough. Seeing as Radulov flashed me, I would say probably Sidney Crosby. But I would also say Sidney Crosby, mainly because I'm a hockey nerd, and I would just love to pick his brain about hockey. And Alexander Radulov scares me.
Yes. Alexander Radulov is a frightening individual.
All right, I'm going to ask this question, although I don't expect anybody to answer it.
Oh, you'll get an answer.
All right. If you could pick one Golden Knight to hang out with, who would it be?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one.
Because I would figure that you don't want to answer because you don't want to make anybody else upset. But I
don't think,
because there's a lot of guys on this team that look like they'd be a lot of fun to hang out with.
I don't think that anyone on this team really cares if I leave them out of this. So I don't think that's going to play into my decision. But I would probably say, I would say probably Pierre-Édouard Belmar, if I'm being completely honest
really?
With you, just because I love talking to that guy. I like his insight on the game. I like his insight on pretty much everything involved with the community. I like the comments he's made about Vegas being home potentially after hockey. And I just like the way the guy plays. I think he would probably be the guy. And we both have kids, so that would be a lot easier to explain than going out with, you know, like Alex Tuck.
So Ryan the hockey guy is now Ryan the family guy.
Now? What are you talking about now? I've always been Ryan the family guy.
Yeah, I've seen Tuck eating tomahawk steaks on social media.
Probably not a good match for him.
So he's the guy I'm going out with because hopefully he'd buy me a tomahawk steak if he's inviting me out for the evening.
No. You're the rookie in this situation.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Dinner. Yeah. True. So, yeah. Alex, if you're listening, tomahawk steaks, man.
So you're going to have a big bill at the end of the night there.
Yeah, because he'd probably bring Shea along as well. I'd be stuck buying for two.
Well, and because at the start of the season, I think a lot of people thought it would be Nate Schmidt, and he still seems like he'd be a great guy to hang out with.
Man, I don't have enough energy to hang out with Nate Schmidt.
I don't know if I have enough energy to hang out with any of them.
Wait, hold on. Do you have enough energy to hang out with Cody Eakin?
Yes, absolutely. And I like the Pierre Edouard Bellemare because I like French cuisine, and I think that he would be the guy that would know the best place to get the best French cuisine. So I do like that. But you know me, man. I'm hanging out with my guy, John Merrill.
Yeah. Hashtag go blue.
That's right. I'm gonna go play some golf, basketball, football, baseball, any other sport. John Merrill's my he's my dude.
Well, I mean, I've really grown to like Pierre Edouard Bellemare as well, so I would do that. But Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, would also be a lot of fun. Because I'd like to see what he's really like with the pranks and everything else he does. So, but I mean, there's so many guys. Let's face it, there's not a guy on the team that I don't think any of us in here don't like. So,
can we hang out with George McPhee and just ask him a bunch of questions that he'll get annoyed with and won't answer?
Well, we could. Jesse Granger might have to join us, though.
Let's just call that a segment on the show. It'd be great.
All right. Well, speaking of, it's not French cuisine, but there is a. You guys like chocolate?
Yes, very
Who
much
doesn't?
So.
What kind of question is that?
Well, because there is a place in town here that now has a special chocolate.
A Golden Knights connection, we'll call it.
A Golden Knights connection with a brand new chocolate morsel that Clayton Hamilton will tell you about when we come back to wrap up the show today. Playoff edition, getting ready for the 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Final go round here on a Monday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. And I promise tomorrow we will get at some of those other matchups here because there's more than just the Vegas Golden Knights and the LA Kings, but having a little bit of fun today. And, well, this kind of sounds like fun, Clayton. You tell me that there's a chocolate rendition of a Golden Knight.
There is. The fine folks at the Bellagio came up with the idea to make a life-size Marc-Andre Fleury out of chocolate. And so they have done so. It is on display at the Bellagio. And it took executive pastry chefs Yamilette Hillers and Jerome Jacobs 5 weeks to make a life-size sculpture of Marc-Andre Fleury, complete with all detail and stitching of his number 29 jersey. It took three types of chocolate, milk, dark, and white. There is over 90 pounds worth of chocolate in it, over 10 pounds of fondant, and 20 pounds of Rice Krispie treats in order to make the form.
Mask on or off?
Mask is on. They said that was the most difficult part of creating the helmet because there's a lot of intricate areas.
Life size. When can I eat it, I guess is my question.
It's going to remain there until the end of the playoffs. Right. It doesn't say whether the end of the playoff, if all of it or the end of the Golden Knights run, but yeah, you can go down there.
Well, hopefully it'll be one in the same.
It'll be one in the same. That's right. Yeah.
So, life-size Marc-Andre Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty cool.
5 weeks. 90 pounds of chocolate.
Is it climate controlled now? I'm assuming
it is. It's going to be inside the old casino. Huh. Only thing is tough, though, it's probably going to have some smoke on it.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Stick around. T.C. Martin's next. Tomorrow, T.C. Martin will be joined by Mike Emmerich. And we'll join you tomorrow from 2 to 3 as well. Fox Sports Radio.